Our Lord ruffled feathers and rattled cages. Not once, but twice, he overturned the apple carts in Jerusalem. If he never crossed the Sabbath line, he didn't exactly toe it either. And he certainly wasn't afraid to tell off the Jerusalem leaders, even to their face. It wasn't for nothing that he was branded a revolutionary. And it wasn't for nothing that Paul was accused of turning the world upside down. If you want to break ground, expect a turf war. The Ephesian silversmiths rioted when Paul's preaching threatened their idol making. The Jewish leaders had Paul arrested to protect synagogue attendance and temple offerings. The circumcision party thought Paul a deviant. Even the good guys wondered if perhaps Paul had gone too far, too fast. And that's part of the reason, I suppose, we as Lutherans gravitate towards Paul. We appreciate his boldness, his willingness to speak truth to power. In every age, there's got to be a guy with the guts to say that the emperor has no clothes. That spirit of boldness, the essence of distilled Lutheranism, can be found in Galatians, where Paul takes on Peter, and where, when the circumcision party takes out the long knives, Paul cuts them off at the pass, telling them to emasculate themselves. But Sears was never all about hammers and nails, and so also there's a softer side of Paul. Sometimes he'd go along to get along. And so it happened. Paul chose Timothy, a talented young pastor from Lystra, to be his companion in the ministry. And what's the first thing he did? He took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew his father was a Greek. Remarkable little story, really. And from it we learn that not every right needs to be exercised. And because you have the right doesn't always make it right. For the sake of the gospel, we must be bold. But perhaps more often than not, for the sake of the gospel, we must blend in, trying as much as possible to put aside our personal agendas for the sake of others. You might, for instance, like the idea of homeschooling. But if your congregation has a school, it's not the best idea. The LWML might not be your cup of tea, but only a fool wouldn't pull up a chair. Ditto the men's club and the circuit meeting. To be sure, we're called to be holy, to be set apart. But we do not want to set ourselves apart from our congregation, whether by prayer posture or just plain posturing. If you've read Emily Post, you know that the salad fork goes on the left. But you also know it's rude to go into someone's house and rearrange the silverware. I even know of a fool who tried to move the flags from beside the altar, causing all sorts of needless hand-wringing. Oh, wait. That was me. Freshman mistake. So it is, little things, even when done for pious reasons, can drive big wedges. The church, as Paul reminded the Corinthians, is Catholic. But Catholicity begins at home. It's no good if we conform ourselves to the church of all times and all places, if in doing so we alienate the church in our own time and our own place. And so Paul, in boldness, could tell the Galatians that if they allowed themselves to be circumcised, they would make Christ nothing. But he could also make peace, asking Timothy to be circumcised for the sake of the Jewish converts and for those he hoped to persuade. Long after the church council, Paul visited Jerusalem again and met up with James. The cultural divide had not gone away. So what did Paul do? Did he offer a bold speech condemning the Jewish Christians for failing to see the light, for being so slow? No. He sponsored a purification ritual, complete with head shaving, just so the Jewish Christians wouldn't feel slighted. But in doing so, Paul had a role model. Not counting equality with God something to be grasped, our Lord took upon himself the form of a servant, walking among us as one of us, standing in line for baptism, eating with tax collectors and sinners, not as the righteous one, but as one of them, going to synagogue and observing the festivals according to custom, paying taxes that supported the soon-to-be-obsolete temple, even given to the pagan Caesar the things that belonged to Caesar. No, our Lord was not distinguished by his lifestyle, his diet, or his almy garments, but because he preached with authority. The story goes, as you well know, that when Augustine arrived in Milan, he observed that the church did not fast on Sunday, as did the church in Rome. So he consulted Ambrose, bishop of Milan, who replied, "When I am in Rome, I fast on Saturday. When I am at Milan, I do not. Follow the custom of the church where you are. When in Rome, do as the Romans." Now, to be sure, the degree to which we assimilate is never easy, or not always easy, to calibrate. Do you turn off the TV because you think it's garbage, or do you watch it and use it in your sermon illustrations? Do you shun the sports culture as a kind of idolatry, or do you root for the home team, recognizing and honoring the natural ties by which a community is knit together? Paul understood himself as a man set apart before birth, but he was no separatist, and neither is our Lord. He paid the price of our sin, not simply to save us, but to be with us in communion. And so, as you go out, and soon enough, God willing, all of you will go out. When you go out, join in. Take part. Go ahead and circumcise Timothy. Take part in a Nazarite vow, if that's what it takes. And then, should it happen that somebody demands circumcision in whatever form for the price of salvation, well, then you can go ahead and tell them to emasculate themselves in the name of Christ. Amen.